Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's got Star Trek, episode 81, Deep Space Nine, season 1, episode 9, Move Along Home.
Shap 2, move along home!
Where is this place? Where have you brought me?
Move along home!
Hello!
Doctor!
Oh, thank God! I thought I was having a nightmare! I couldn't wake up!
You two, what was all that yelling?
Haven't you ever had to wake yourself up out of a bad dream?
This isn't a dream. We're guests of the Wadi.
What do they want?
I don't know yet. I just had a strange run-in with Fallow. He had said something about moving along home.
Home?
Well, perhaps they're giving us some sort of behavioral test. Like a laboratory rodent who must work his way out of a maze.
Behavioral test? Now, wait a minute.
There doesn't seem to be any immediate threat, Major.
Oh, no, I'm sure all you Starfleet explorers find this absolutely fascinating. But I'm a Bajoran administrator. This is not what I signed up for!
Ella Moraine, yo.
Ella Moraine.
Ella Moraine.
Ella Moraine, one,
first,
two, three.
First Shap. I think we should start.
That was second. That was second Shap.
No, I know they start.
Because only kids started the first
Shap. I'm just suggesting that we are effectively children.
Yes.
In all the ways that count. So it probably makes sense for us to start at the first Shap.
Totally.
This is a podcast. As I recall.
It sure is. It's called It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah, it's Got Star Trek. It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's this thing here that we've put together. We're in the process of putting together at the moment.
It's got Patrick and Jesse.
We'll have a guest visit from Dan in a moment. This is a podcast that you're listening to. It's a common format, is my understanding. A common entertainment format.
People do this now.
People do this and people listen. People both consume and produce podcasts. I think there are more people who produce podcasts than consume them, but
probably.
Yeah, it'll balance out in time because that's how nature works. But so it's the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and the topics are generally focused on Star Trek. And in this case, today, we are discussing a particular episode of Star Trek, and that particular episode is Move Along Home. The classic
Move Along Home
and often reviled episode from Deep Space Nine's first season. It is, which I think is unfair.
I think Dan doesn't like this one, right?
I don't know. Well,
I remember him not being. I don't know.
He would be totally justified in not liking this. Well, we'll hear. We'll hear his. He sent us similar to last week. Dan is still out. Out on assignment, and so he was able to find some time to record a voicemail for us, and so we will play the voicemail, and Dan will provide his opinion via that voicemail, and we'll work through that in just a moment. But many people don't like this episode. This episode is traditionally considered one of, if not the worst episodes of Deep Space Nine. I don't entirely agree, but I do understand where people are coming from because, well, we'll get into that. We'll get into why people might think that. However, I also think that in more recent times, people have begun to revisit this episode and perhaps come to the opinion that maybe it was not quite so horrible as they once thought. But that's up to you. It's up to you in the audience. And you can write us in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
You totally can.
You can totally do that. It's a free country. I mean, most of our listeners are in free countries, presumably.
I hope so.
At the very least, you have the freedom to download and listen to podcasts. And you can email us and give us your opinion on Move Along Home and whether or not it's the worst episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Some people say it's the worst episode of Star Trek, which I think is completely, that's insane.
That's really extreme.
That's insane. For Deep Space Nine, I think one of the best arguments is that Deep Space Nine achieves such a high level of quality. And even in the rocky first and second seasons, there are still episodes that, like Duet, which are amazing. And so in relative terms, I can understand somebody watching Duet and then watching this and being like, what the hell is going on here? But in broader terms, I think it's a fun episode. It's a flawed episode for sure, but I think it's a fun
It's pretty fun, yeah.
It's all right. Deep Space Nine at this stage is still trying to find its identity. This is
it's
true.
It's like mid first season.
Yeah, all Star Trek series are like this. I mean, traditionally they take like two or three seasons before they actually start getting going.
Yeah.
In a way that we remember. And then once you dig the show, when you go back to the first few seasons, a lot of those episodes take on sort of a new, more positive flavor because you know the characters a little bit better and all that. That all being said, I think we should hear from our regular podcasting co-host, Dan, and we'll listen to this voicemail.
What is he going to say?
And we can play off of his opinions and see maybe he didn't like it quite as much as we did.
So here I am.
Hi, Dan.
Recording for the episode Move Along Home.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some notes here. I'll try to spin through them right quick.
He does.
First of all, that dude looks like your classic kind of ponytail nerd. You know what I mean?
I presume he is referring to Fallow,
Joel Brooks.
Fallow, who is played by Joel Brooks. And I always like this when you look up a guest star and it says they're famous for movie X, TV show Y, and this episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, totally.
Fallow, who is a Wadi.
Yeah, he's a Wadi.
He is a Wadi.
He's got runes on his head.
They're all about the runes. They're all about the dice. All about the board games. I don't think we ever see these folks again. And I was chatting with somebody on our Facebook page.
Missed opportunities.
Though. Yeah, I think they gotta revisit this alien. In fact, somebody tweeted earlier. They said what alien race should we go back to in one of the modern Star Trek series? And I think we should go back to the Wadi.
Yeah.
For no other reason than maybe we can have a sequel to this classic episode.
Move along.
Who's into anime and wants to play. One shot kills in the complex.
About, I'm not sure he's talking about
swing. Ponytail nerds.
So that's that kind of guy. So no offense to those guys.
Oh, okay, none taken.
Just like what it reminded me of. That's all.
That's somebody he knew.
Ponytail
in
nerd. It's cool.
Something.
You know, every other species that visits the Star Trek crew, they're always super rude, right? Why is that? Why is it up to the Star Trek crew to be...
His delivery is...
It's like he's like, doing a bit.
You go in the donut shop, and everyone's waiting in line. What's up with that? What's going on there? Waiting in line. It's a donut shop.
He even sounds like he's about to start laughing.
I want to know. I keep expecting there to be a punchline. Maybe there will be.
I guess that's just how it appears to me, though. I should be more open-minded.
Okay. He stated that he should be more open-minded in the tone and slot of the punchline. So the setup is these aliens, they always show up and the aliens, they're always rude. They're always rude. What's up with that? I guess I should be open-minded.
But those guys really are the fucking worst. Those Wadi guys, they're just terrible. Terrible assholes. Klonpeegs are for fucking.
Oh yeah, so the Klonpeegs. Is that what they were saying? Those sticks were Klonpeegs, right?
Well, they were clicking them together. They said they used them for different things, I guess, but
okay.
They were certainly using them to like applaud.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see where he's going with this.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe he explains.
Those sticks are for fucking.
And then there's Alpha Current Nectar, and Quark didn't like it. When Sisko was watching over, when he first came over to watch these guys before he went to bed, and he was sitting like at the bar, was he getting drunk?
Yes.
He was sitting with all those cups around him.
Captain McCullough.
He was being really boisterous with Quark. It seemed like he was getting drunk. And it was the end of his shift, you know? There's a Ferengi named Brook.
It's Broik.
Broik, yeah.
Brook? No, it's not Brook.
You're right, it's not. It's Broik.
Where is Broik?
That's an autocorrect. There was a weird Ferengi name, the one that cheated for Quark. I forget his name.
Broik.
I have Brook written here, but I think that might be auto-completed.
Yeah, it's definitely
auto-completed. I just have something that says reactive ion impeller. for some reason. I have another thing that says.
I bet it does.
Okay, Dan. The this is now a podcast just for Dan. The reactor impeller. That was what Jake was talking about. He and Nog were up late, I think, doing something with it. If I recall correctly.
What were they doing?
I might have that mixed up.
Ferengi low-car beans, for some reason.
That's because that's what Sisko was eating. He said something about, like, I was spending all night eating Ferengi low-car
beans. It's like they got a bowl of peanuts or something, or popcorn or something.
It's the equivalent. It's the Ferengi equivalent.
Did they ever mention those beans?
I don't know if I've ever heard of the low-car beans again. I've heard of yarmulke sauce.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, plenty of yarmulke sauce.
That's good.
But once again, Quark gets the station crew in hot water, for sure. All these sort of mischievous situations where they're in quote-unquote danger, but you know they'll get out of it. It's always Quark gets them into this stuff. Although one episode of DS9 where, like, some guy was trying to steal Dax from Jadzia and put it in himself or something.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, I remember Quark really, really shit the bed on that one, that episode, because he like let him in or something. I don't know. Something terrible happened. And then throughout the episode, he was being a jerk and Kira was super pissed.
It was after.
And under, you know, normal circumstances, he should have been, you know, ejected from the
Kira's
station.
Kira's
kind of
pissed normally.
Or something.
It's just her normal state.
When Quark is like offering holosuites to that Wadi dude, He straight up says holosuites are for sex.
Do you have sex on your plane?
He's trying to bargain his way out of being caught cheating with the Dabo by giving him the holosuites, like, and he's these are for sex.
Yeah, that's a good point, because they it's pretty explicit. And, you know, we always knew what the deal was with holosuites. They implied it pretty heavily, but this is an...
Come on, let's look at that guy.
This is an early season one episode where they are being very clear about it, whereas on TNG, it was somewhat perplexing... That, you know, the whole thing with Barclay, right? And people being put off by Barclay having the clones or whatever, you know, the representations of crew members, female crew members especially. And there was a slight implication there that there probably was something sexual going on there, but it was slight. And TNG generally, all their holosuite adventures involved Sherlock Holmes or traveling to the Old West, you know, or
Robin Hood,
or Geordi getting some guy to play guitar or something next to a woman who's having an unpleasant date with him.
Geordi did a couple of shady things with, like.
Oh yeah, well, he did the most shady thing of all on the holiday,
Dr. Brahms,
Dr. Leah Brahms. But Deep Space Nine. Implies the sexual stuff more strongly, and here, as Dan noted, just states it outright.
They never actually talk about it being for sex, but he's like, these are for sex. So treat it thusly.
Okay.
They started at the second shap. Mm-hmm. Only children enter at the first shap. I wonder why. Why would more be something a child would do? Do you build up like cool gear in the first shap that you otherwise wouldn't get if you started on the second shap? Mm. I didn't see anyone gaining any gear in this game.
Yeah, you gotta get all that early gear in the.
Oh yeah, Bashir, he was screaming like a weirdo that one part in the second shap, and Sisko even made fun of him for it.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick on the Bashir screaming business. So, Alexander Siddig is an excellent actor. And the producers of this television program, Deep Space Nine,
who's at Game of Thrones,
are very professional producers, and they put out a high quality product. So it perplexes me that we somehow got this Bashir screaming where he's all like, and it was overdubbed in some weird way. It wasn't full on screaming, but I don't know how to describe this weird Bashir scream. I will probably have selected it to be played at the beginning of this episode, so maybe the audience has already been reminded.
And like Dax is like, all like, what was up with that screaming?
I know, she called him out on it. I wonder if it was on the day. Maybe Alexander Siddig is just, that's one area he needs some work on.
Dax is really annoyed with everybody in this episode, like the entire episode.
That's true. Yeah, she's just continually it's aggravated.
Kind of strange.
Yeah.
Oh, who is that weird security guy? He was calling Odo Constable
Lieutenant
Odo.
George
Odo
Primin.
Got all pissed about it.
George Primin.
Did you ever see him again?
Yep.
His Lieutenant Primin, security officer. Where was O'Brien? Was O'Brien sick that day or something? I know O'Brien's not a security officer, O'Brien? But it seems like
I know the answer.
Maybe seems like something O'Brien could have helped.
Keiko
Odo
was away. But.
So I looked this up. George Primman, he was in two episodes. He was in a previous episode and in this episode.
Yeah, because there was an episode where there was like some friction between him and Odo.
Yeah, when he comes on. And it was all because Cole Meany was filming a movie. So he had like a leave of absence to film this movie.
Which movie was it?
You know, I don't know. My research did not turn that up. Okay. I failed.
He was in The Dead.
But Cole Meany, he was unavailable. So they created this character just to have around while Cole Meany was gone. And in the original episode,
he sucks, dude.
Yeah, he does suck. And he's not supposed to suck. That's part of the, I think one of the issues with this particular character is he's not intended to suck, but he was introduced as being sent by the Federation to kind of deal with some security stuff because they were worried about some shipments on some sort of a transport or something. And so he butts heads with Odo, because of course Odo is the chief of security, and it's a whole thing in the previous episode, but at the end they agree to be like cool with each other.
Odo's been like working on that space station since the fucking Cardassians.
And it's a Bajoran space station now, you know, as Sisko says that different episode. He's like, we're the guests of the Bajorans.
Because he has to give Primman a talking to.
But yeah, and he just seems like a complete asshole, and he's not really intended to. That's not how I don't think it's supposed to come off that way.
Odo comes up on the turbo lift, and he's all like, Odo, like, what's happening?
Yeah.
He's just got this annoying tone to his voice. It's like, oh, why do I have to work with this guy?
And for a security guy, he's really completely, unbothered by the fact that four senior officers just haven't shown up to work, including the commander of the station.
He's like, well, it was a big party last night.
It was a big party.
How are they viewing this game? Do they do it with their mind while simultaneously interacting with the normal world? You know, like Quark is sitting there when he's winning. He's like, I'm really good at this game. Well, what is he actually doing that makes him think he's good at the game? Mm-hmm. Is it anything beyond dice rolls? They don't really give any sense of what the actual game that players, non-immersed players see.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with this. This is one of the flaws of the episode is the game mechanics don't make any sense.
True.
They seem to be kind of arbitrary, right? I mean,
there's like four separate pieces, but they're all kind of moving together. And Quark's the only one that's playing. Like,
and he's rolling dice and he's making some decisions.
I don't know what's on those dice. I don't know what those dice are saying.
Yeah, this dice Everybody's are confusing. Like, oh. The dice are confusing, and it's like, okay, Quark is in the real world and he's rolling dice and making decisions. So that's quote unquote playing the game. But then in the actual fantasy land of the game, they are taking actions. So what's more important, the actions that the people trapped in the game are taking, or is it the actions of the person in the real world? Yeah, or is it, I guess, presumably both together? Kind of like you're sending in your D&D or your like RPG group into battle, and then based on their skills, I guess that's the closest analogy to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hesitate to say this because it's a
regular dice.
It's a ridiculous alien game, and it's just meant to be sort of fun. But I think it would have been a little bit more interesting if the rules of the game made a little bit more sense and were more coherent. Just based on the idea that, you know, it's like when you're in any sort of fantasy world, it doesn't matter how ridiculous the magic or the lasers or space whatever is, as long as it's consistent in some degree, because otherwise it kind of takes you out of it. And if any rule can be made up at any time, you lose the tension in this story, right?
Yeah, and they're all like, you have to learn as you go. And it's like, there's no way that you're learning as you go, because it's still not working.
Man, nobody's Well, it's like, I don't know about you. People are different, but sometimes somebody will be like, hey, you want to learn this new card game? I'm like, it's like 2 a.m. I don't need to be learning a new card game. They're like, no, it's real easy. We'll just play and you'll learn it.
I already know like two card games. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, all I know is Canasta.
I know how to play spades and rummy. Yeah.
But anyway, let's see what Dan says.
The Chandra, is that good or bad? Says Quark. Follow says, neither, both. Quark says, I don't understand. Follow says, ah, but there is the key. Some will never understand, while others will consider it mere child's play.
Yeah, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Some commands in the game.
That's ridiculous.
That's a weird interchange.
He's talking up his game.
What is that all about? It's just one of these stupid, like, ha-ha, games. Everything's in riddles. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Ha-ha.
Pretty much.
Kira's acting like Worf in this episode. She's being all impulsive and angry. Oh, yeah, there was an Alan Moraine conga line with Sisko singing tenor. That was pretty neat.
Okay, so that apparently was... I've seen a couple of videos of Avery Brooks in at conventions and things mentioning and saying that was like one of the worst things he ever had to do on the show. It was just the most upsetting or difficult. Oh, man. I don't think he cared that much. You know, he's a guy who shows up and does the work, but
well, what about the first episode with like the shorts and the lemonade?
That he probably dug because he was looking hot in those shorts and lemonade walking around on that hot sand. He's all like, ooh, ha.
He's all like, woo.
I think that's in episode 3 of our podcast. You can hear us talking about Sisko delivering lemonade.
Whoa. Third chap. They were all dancing with those fuck sticks in the background. All those.
Why are they fuck sticks? Where did that come from?
Why does he keep calling them fuck
sticks? All the Wadi, you know, went outside with Quark. They were all cheering with the sticks. I wonder what the antidote drink tastes like. Oh, yeah, that champagne drink they were drinking. That was the antidote. What did that taste like?
Probably like champagne.
It looked like a watered-down sort of orange mango drink.
I bet it was like champagne-y. Or champagne mixed with ice cream or something.
I'd rather choke.
Chap 4. I'm almost done here. Those dice they were rolling, they didn't make any sense.
No.
I'm sure, maybe I'm not, you know, D&D enough.
Wholeheartedly second.
But those dice didn't have a top. They just had three, it landed on, it was, were they four-sided dice?
Three-sided dice.
A pyramid, so you had three showing and one covered by the,
table surface.
You know, normally you roll a normal dice and it says 4 or 5 or whatever on the top, but this didn't have it went to a point, so there was no top, just surrounding ones.
They were like four-sided dice, but lamer.
Odo to trust a gambler? That's silly.
A gambler. Yeah, I agree.
Fialo, for some reason. These Wadi get so emotional over their games. That one dude, his name Fallow or whatever, he at one point he was all like yelling and pissed off. I can't remember when, but he was like, it's all over this game. Thiello, move along home. Chap 6.
And that's another question. We keep seeing Fallow in the game, but is he in the game, or is that some avatars of his in the game, and is it him actually interacting with the game on some mental state? There just seem to be a few things that they could have touched on that would have clarified and made this possibly slightly more interesting to people.
This show is pretty old, and like it came out before like all sorts of... you know, advanced video games and stuff that we all are very familiar with nowadays.
It was 1993. Yeah, I think it was March
15th, 1993. The Ides of March.
Yeah, they skipped Chap 5 because Quark was like, let's take a shortcut. Oh, yeah, and at the end, Quark was supposed to pick someone to sacrifice, and then he was like, oh, we'll just do it by random. And they sacrificed a piece, but inside with Sisko and all them, Sisko and Dax and Kira... no one got sacrificed. I mean, Bashir had already been sacrificed, so wouldn't there have been a third person sacrificed? Or were they trying to sacrifice Dax and Kira and Sisko wouldn't let it happen?
Because they're
really noble people.
Maybe that might have been the case, but it's like, is that even possible? Oh, I forgot Dan's not here.
I know, it's so hard, man.
That may have been the case. I've been going back and forth because I had that same observation that something didn't quite seem to line up there.
Yeah.
But with then the rock fell on Dax, and it's like, what's the deal here? What's going on here?
And Dax is just like, you guys got to leave. Just leave me here. She gets all pissed off that they're like picking her up and trying to save her. It's like, I would totally
be all noble.
Court-martial you guys.
That was nice little pace I put it out there. What? Boom.
What is he talking about?
Oh, I guess that was his concluding statement.
He boomed us.
Boom, Dan.
Was that it?
That was it. Thank you very much, Dan.
I miss him already.
For leaving that voicemail.
Yeah, that was great.
Entertaining us and providing some... Excellent insights.
It's hard to do this podcast with just two of us. We need Dan to anchor it.
Be sitting there screaming in our faces, getting mad at us for talking over him and laughing at something he said at the inappropriate time.
So the sticks, and I don't remember what they're called, but as far as Dan's concerned, they're fuck sticks.
They're fuck sticks.
But they're so small.
This is where we miss him is because I would like to interrogate him on
they look like breadsticks.
Yeah, no, they did look like breadsticks.
Like the little kind of shitty kind of breadsticks.
The prop guy just went out and said, like, they need some fuck sticks on stage. go down to the deli and get some breadsticks. Get some of those thin, dry Italian breadsticks.
And he had a different thing in mind. And the production assistant went down there and was like, give me the fuck sticks.
Give me them fuck sticks.
Like, well, we got these things in there, and they were like, yeah, okay, whatever.
So, what are some other things you thought about this episode? Anything pop out at you, Jesse? One thing that I was thinking, for example, was that this is kind of like a clever variation on the malfunctioning holodeck, combined with a variation on the a strange society who has bizarre arcane rules that you have to follow for some reason, but put together in a very unique way, if not an entirely successful way.
Yeah, it makes me want to learn more about these Wadi people, like how much is gaming a part of their culture? Like,
are they representative of Wadi people, or is this just like the gaming consortium?
These could be like, these could be some fucking weirdos. Is like cheating is probably if your shit is all centered around gaming, like then cheating is probably really effed up. So that's why they were like, Quark, you fucking cheated. Like, now we have to get you.
Well, and the motivation again was somewhat peculiar because they're playing Dabo and doing very well. Quark gets Broik to cheat them, okay? And then they want to play this other game. And so in that context, you have to think, well, they wanted to play this other game purposely to fuck with Quark.
Right.
It's a somewhat peculiar motivation because they seem to really enjoy this game. You'd think they'd be like, play some Dabo and then be like, hey, you want to have some real fun?
Exactly. They should have been like,
we'll show you a real game.
Yeah, it's like, your games are fun, but like, we've got this game. Because like, they were, right off the bat, they were like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're you and you're you, but I don't care, like, look, take me to Quark's because I want to play some games.
It's difficult to understand how the audience is supposed to understand the characterization of these Wadi people because they are at points portrayed as being sinister and then at other points portrayed as being completely sort of silly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a game.
It's just a game. Drink.
It's just a game. A piece of toast. Move along home. It's fine. I'm not even going to nitpick this because who cares? A lot of people don't even like this episode to begin with. I enjoy it.
They're not going to listen to this.
I enjoy it, but I do. Yeah, exactly. Probably. I enjoy this episode. It's entertaining for a lot of in-universe reasons and sort of meta reasons. But it, at the same time, I can see exactly what's aggravating people. It's not just Cisco and everybody dancing around in a conga line, which is charming and cute, but it can clearly also be super aggravating. But some of these characterizations, it's like, I'm not sure. Are these like going to be a terrible enemy or are they just dickheads? I guess in the end, they're just dickheads. But then you could say, well, they were only responding to Quark trying to cheat them. But I don't know. I agree with you. If we can learn more about the Wadi, would be excellent to see how important this is to their culture, whether or not these people are representative of the broader Wadi culture, or if they are just the people who go out on the spaceships first. They're more adventurous because they're all about the taking risks and gambling. This is another form of first contact, but it's sort of first contact turned on its head because instead of it being like ships flying to some new planet and talking to some people from their spaceship, it's people coming to the station. It's just people week by week, new people coming through the wormhole.
Yeah.
And so they're having a few of these opportunities, at least during the first and a little bit in the second season to meet these new people. And a lot of these people are like weird or dickish or strange, but we don't know that these are the representatives of their actual cultures.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Cause the people that are willing to go through a wormhole might be a certain kind of people.
Yeah. I mean, presumably it's like somebody who, is willing to get on a sailing ship and go to Australia or something.
Yeah. They might not be the most polite people.
Do you think that Sisko is fully invested in his assignment at Deep Space Nine? I don't think so at this stage. I think he's still a little bit early on in the first season. He's still not super happy about being there.
Yeah. He's definitely annoyed that he was just sitting there all evening. They didn't care about Starfleet or anything. He was like, why am I even here? Because these guys just want to play like Dabo all night.
Yeah. And, I think the later season Sisko would not be so nonchalant about like, Jesus, I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah. Some weird bit with like, Dr. Bashir. He can't find his dress uniform and he just shows up and he's like, oh, my dress uniform. And like, Sisko's like, listen, man, this is it. This is first contact. You better have your shit in gear. Like,
why didn't Bashir just, replicate?
That's what Natalie and I were talking about at home when we were watching this episode.
I was immediately like,
they
come on, can man.
Replicate. They, yeah, exactly.
Even if at this stage in Star Trek, the concept of just replicating your uniform, I don't know if it had come up yet or not, or certainly wasn't a common thing. People didn't talk about it, but people didn't necessarily talk about getting their uniforms steamed and pressed or anything either. They were just wearing uniforms all the time. Later, and especially, you know, when you get to Discovery, Lower Decks, etc. It's very clear. You just make one whenever you need one. Make a new uniform in the replicator. But it still stood out because come on, they had. I guess they just needed some. They wanted to show that Sisko was taking this seriously. I guess was the thematic thing they were trying to get in with the text there to show like that Sisko's really taking this shit seriously.
Every time Bashir like acts like a goofball, they should replicate like a silly hat for his stupid ass to wear.
And then he can be like, oh, oh, and when Sisko says like, you know, where everything's going to work from here on out or whatever. Right. And Bashir does this weird sort of like, yes. Again, I don't understand it. Bashir is a little odd in this episode. Another question I have is when they're in the Chula game, in the mind space or Chula, whatever space this is that they're, I guess their souls are trapped in. Well, their bodies too. I mean, their bodies are gone, right? So that's another thing. They've been transported.
Is it a part of the ship, their ship?
Yeah, because they keep referring to that, you know, this is similar in some ways to transporter energy, you know, signature that they're finding. Yeah. So I guess it's their whole bodies in a sense. Again, it's not 100% clear. But they're transported there. They're in their uniforms, even though most of those people were in bed sleeping. And they have tricorders for some reason. I mean, you know, Sisko just like pulls out a tricorder and he's all like tricording it up.
They're in Starfleet.
They're in their BDUs. Uniforms. They're not in pajamas.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a bit of a peculiar thing, I think.
I was trying to figure out like which piece represented which person, and I didn't see any rhyme or reason to that.
Yeah, there were no clues about that, were there?
I think the one that looked like sort of two bits connected was actually Bashir, because that was mm-hmm. the one that got eliminated, and I was assuming that was Dax because it's a joined species.
And
I was way off, so it had no rhyme or reason.
So the one clue was an unhelpful clue.
And yeah, and like one of them's red. Is that Kira because she's got red on? Is it Sisko because he's in command? He's mm-hmm. got the red uniform.
I think it was another, but again, it's not an error. It's a choice, right? To make these pieces obscure, I understand in the concept, sort of in the context of the plot, you don't want Quark to immediately recognize the pieces and say, oh, look,
yeah,
there's my friends or they're the people I know on the station who I met a few months ago. They're all standing right there. You made little pieces of them, and that might get him suspicious that something was going on.
Yeah.
So you can't maybe do that or make it too clear. But at the same time, why not just have it be some indicator so that we could follow the game a little bit better?
I mean, or like, and they're going for something visual that's kind of, you know, space age and alien and, you know, space age. You know, it's a sci-fi alien kind of setup. They want things to look a certain way visually. But like, did everything have to be so like radically different?
Yeah.
Like one of them looks like some kind of Doctor Who shit.
I wonder where they might have just bought those pieces, you know, off the shelves.
This could have been some pieces from a different game,
like, or just some funny chess set.
Just like that, yeah, exactly. Like they did with like the coffee, the Racogino cups. Like
tons of
like
stuff on Star Trek is just stuff they bought at thrift shops and yard sales and things. The
Geordi's visor is a
hairband thing. Yeah. I believe the Kanar bottles were some bottles they'd had around for a while, and then they ran into an issue because they started needing like more of them, but I think the original one cost like a couple bucks someplace, but then they had to replicate them and that became like a whole expensive prop thing to make,
because they didn't have bottles. A replicator.
Yeah, for real, man. They didn't have like 3D printers and shit back then. It was 1993. There was nothing going on except Jurassic Park.
Sucked back then.
Quark is being extra Quark in this episode.
He's extra Quark, and it's like a super like Odo versus Quark sort of situation, all goofed up.
An old school Odo, because Quark got into his character almost right away of the lovable scamp.
Right.
Sisko is a lot meaner to Quark early on. In Emissary, he threatens him. I mean, he basically threatens him in this episode. He's being a lot rougher with Quark, which is understandable. Yeah. He doesn't know this guy. And by the way, I think it's clear that Sisko has some sort of prejudice against Ferengi.
Well,
because he's always telling Jake, like, don't hang out with that
the Ferengi boy.
The Ferengi boy. He does sexual things. He does things with girls.
Nog didn't do any sexual things. Come on.
Nog isn't even in this episode, I don't think. Right? We don't see him in this episode. And we hear so much about Nog, and Sisko is talking so much with Jake about having sex with girls. And it was
weird.
It was weird. It's sweet on the one hand because they're showing a father and son relationship, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's great.
And Sisko's not being an asshole at all.
Absolutely not.
He's being a father.
He's a little presumptive because he's all like, we ought to talk about women. It's like,
right.
Hey, yeah. You don't know. You don't know what Jake's into yet. Right. Come on. Be a little bit more progressive.
That is true. But you can tell that like it's the Ferengi boy, and it's like Nog isn't really that bad of a guy at all.
He's just presuming
that he's a Ferengi, so he's bad.
He's a rascally Ferengi who's like going around doing stuff.
They're all rascally.
Exactly. They're all just like Quark. They're lovable rascals.
Come on.
Quark and Rom.
Ferengi, they're all right.
Yeah, maybe
that, you know, Negus guy, that guy's hilarious.
He's pretty entertaining. Moogie is hilarious and brilliant. I could do without Liquidator Brunt. He's a good character, but he seems like a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, some of them are kind of shitty.
At some point, we'll have to do The Magnificent Ferengi, which is another ridiculous episode. And I was going to make a point. The Magnificent Ferengi is a good example. People refer to this episode as being bad in part because they say it's so silly, right? And it's like, okay, it is super silly and it's not 100% well executed. However, it lays the groundwork for a lot of other silliness that Deep Space Nine gets into later on. First of all, Star Trek's often been silly to begin with, right? Okay, just Star Trek's
silly.
Beam
me up.
People watch Deep Space Nine and they remember episodes like, for example, Duet or Waltz or other, you know, or the whole long arcs that they have that are dealing with serious dramatic issues, pretty intense stuff, and you remember that vibe because it's so good and so high quality. But you also have a bunch of silly stuff like The Magnificent Ferengi and Our Man Bashir, and that In the Cards episode, which I quite like, but a lot of people also find that annoying when Jake is trying to get the baseball card to cheer up his dad. And that's a crazy episode because there's like all this horrible stuff happening on like one side, and then it's like Jake and Nog just doing all these shenanigans to try to like get this baseball card for Captain Sisko. So Deep Space Nine does silly. It generally does it pretty well. Later, here it's proto Deep Space Nine silliness.
Get their game.
Yeah, it takes a little time before they figure it all out and get there. A lot of people have referred to this episode as feeling as if it was almost like a TOS script that was then filmed in the 1990s with the 90s Star Trek aesthetic. And I think that's a fair way to look at it. It's not a TOS script, but the story is kind of similar.
It's goofy aliens being goofy.
You can imagine Captain Kirk and Spock and maybe Scotty and Bones getting trapped in an alien game.
Yeah.
And Chekov, who believes himself to be a chess grandmaster because he's Russian, has to play it and eventually real, and you know, maybe Sulu and Uhura figure out, like, he's like, oh, the captain's in there.
There was a lot of game kind of stuff in that.
Yeah, like the gamesters of Triskelion.
Totally. Or the arena.
Oh yeah, the arena is a good one too. So I think that's a fair, it's a fair way to think of it, and it's another reason why it might stand out a little bit in relation to other episodes of Deep Space Nine. You know, the things we're more used to in Deep Space Nine, because Deep Space Nine did in time settle into its own unique tone and style of storytelling for Star Trek, which is, for the people who love Deep Space Nine, is part of what makes it so special and why it's on at the top of so many people's lists of favorite, you know, when they're ranking series, Star Trek series. A lot of people put Deep Space Nine on top, and if they do, it's in all likelihood in part because it went in its own different direction and did things like sort of challenge some of the orthodoxies and assumptions of, yeah, that laid down by TOS and TNG. I'd say that's like the main thing for me. I look at it as, this is a fun little kind of throwback, weird episode. They were still trying things out. It's a new series after TNG, and they're trying to differentiate themselves, and they try to do so in different ways. Not all of them are successful.
Right.
They take some refinement, and then they get there pretty swiftly, I think. I think pretty soon into the second season, right at the beginning of the second season, there's a three-part story, which they'd never really done before on Star Trek. That,
yeah, that's right.
You know, the whole circle trilogy,
yeah, that was, yeah.
Which is really interesting, and then leads into some other interesting stuff. So they get the ball moving pretty quick on
this episode. Was nominated for an Emmy in 1993 for best hairstyling.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. There's some. Do you think it was due to the Wadi?
I'm pretty sure it's the Wadi, because those guys got some some hairstyling going on.
I'm really. The more I think about it, the more sad I am that we don't know more about the Wadi.
I know, yeah.
At least it makes you canonical think. On-screen stuff.
What's up with these guys?
You folks out there, let us know if there are any books or comics.
Oh yeah,
where they mention the Wadi. And
set us straight.
Even if it's only a brief side mention, I'd be interested to hear about it. But certainly, if they go into their storyline more at all, because I don't know what it is about these people, because they are complete assholes. I agree with Dan. They show up and they're just kind of dickheads. They're like, where are the games? And then they purposely fuck around with Quark. And
they're like almost rude. They're almost rude to Sisko. Sisko's like, I'm Sisko, and this is this guy, and this guy, and this guy. And they're like, yeah, okay, but
yeah,
we
want to play some cards. Where's the slot machines? And of course they kidnap these people. I mean, there's no way around
it's
that.
Kidnapping.
Again, it gets back to my point about the trickiness in characterizing these folks, because they're meant to be these sort of whimsical, obnoxious poker players, for lack of a better term. On the other hand, they kidnapped four people for the purpose, seemingly, of mentally punishing Quark. And even if they knew that those four people were going to be fine at the end of this little ordeal, certainly from a Federation perspective, they kidnapped people while they were like in bed sleeping.
And it certainly didn't seem like they were going to be fine. Everything was going to be okay.
Yeah, they didn't know that.
To the people that were actually kidnapped.
They didn't know that. And
it was pretty menacing.
I did really enjoy
most of the game.
Yeah, I enjoyed there are a lot of things I really thought were really well done in this episode, even if it didn't all come together sort of as a whole. And one of them is Sisko's sleeping, you know, Sisko kind of like getting to bed and kind of when he drifts off to sleep, and then transitioning into him kind of rolling up and waking up in the room, because that situates both Sisko and the audience to be not entirely sure whether or not this is a dream or not. Now, I frankly think that they let Sisko figure out that this was the Wadi, this was related to the Wadi and not just a dream, maybe a little too early. It might have been fun to play that out a little bit and perhaps not even have the crew, you know, the other three characters meet each other right away. Just maybe let that sit a little bit so that they're each coming at it. Yeah, 'cause you could see a different version of this story where all four of them appear in this place. They're not sure whether they're dreaming or sleeping or on a holodeck or something like that. And And then when they do come together, they could have even played with some of the paranoia. That could have been an added challenge for the characters as they have to go. It could be all the same level stuff, but
because they might not trust each other.
Exactly. Yeah. If there was a little bit more of a, what's your deal? Like, are you real or not? They chose not to go that direction. That's fine. But it's just one way where when
they could have done a little more with it.
When you have these more obvious hints, you don't have to be particularly creative to make small adjustments to the story to make it more entertaining or more engaging. That is a sign of an episode that needed a little bit more work because we are not professional script writers and creatives here. And it's not too difficult watching this episode where you'll be like, oh, you know, they could have done a couple tweak this, do this, change this, and then maybe it would be a little bit more interesting.
No one is ever as serious as Kira. She's the most serious person like ever.
It's great when she does have fun because then it like throws you off.
Totally. Like,
what the fuck?
It throws her off.
It also makes it funny to see her in this particular situation where she has to, mainly that one. I think the main thing people remember is them hopping on their feet doing that 1, 3, 1, 2, 4, you know, that whole thing where Dax figures it out and does it properly. Sisko immediately then jumps in and is like, okay, I'll do that. And then, as Dan mentioned, he's singing in a tenor voice. Like, he didn't need to do that. He's like, he's
leading a conga line in a tenor voice.
And then Bashir right behind him, and then Kira holding, she has a tricorder too. She's just like holding her tricorder folded up in her hand, and she's like just going through the motions. But yeah, good enough. Get through there. I tried to look up. I couldn't figure out who played this little girl because I wanted to see if she grew up and blew her brains out or something like
that. Oh, she was. She did some other acting, and it turns out she was a character on later seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, I did not know that.
Ones I haven't gotten to yet in my.
I became intensely curious as to like if this episode somehow severely negatively affected this young woman's life. So I'm glad to hear that she had some success.
Yeah.
After that,
I will produce her name shortly. Chandra Clara Bryant.
Clara Bryant.
Yeah.
Was the girl's name Chandra?
Yeah, because at some point they say like Chandra and they're like, okay, is that good or is that bad? And they're like, maybe both.
All right. I wasn't clear if that was supposed to be her name or if it was just another gobbledygook word. Right,
exactly, yeah.
Because they had a bunch of gobbledygook words like, of course, you know, the Shaps, the Clon Pigs, the Wadi. This guy's name is Fallow. I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be like thematically interesting or something. Like,
right.
But it's like, no, Fallow doesn't really make sense in this context. And that's the other thing is this episode, I don't know, were there any themes in this episode? Was there any message to this episode? I know not all Star Trek episodes have it, and not all of them have to have it.
I don't know. It doesn't, it's like, okay, well, Don't
fuck with the Wadi.
Don't fuck with the Wadi.
It's not a particularly generalizable theme.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole Quark cheating. It's not like he learned a lesson. He didn't learn a lesson about not cheating. He's totally going to do that again.
And the Wadi like almost didn't even care that much at the end. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Like,
it's only a game.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's like, what's up with these guys?
Yeah.
That's all you just, there isn't a lot of theme or message. It's you get a lot of questions in your head about like what's up with these Wadi people.
So you know you read about the behind the scenes stuff and there's nothing particularly interesting.
What's up with the runes on their head?
Yeah, the behind the scenes stuff is not, you know, at least that I could discover, nothing particularly interesting. It was an episode idea. I think the story was thought up by Michael Piller. And there were a few different variations on it that I couldn't find out too many details on. And you know, they were producing it, just plowing through producing episodes. I think part of it, the other thing that makes this episode weird is the lack of O'Brien. And it's not just the lack of O'Brien, because there are other episodes where O'Brien doesn't show up or we don't see certain characters at all. But the addition of Primin, what is it? Primins? George Primins?
Primin.
George Primin?
Lieutenant Primin.
Lieutenant George Primin. I know he was introduced in the previous episode, but in that episode he had a greater function in the plot. Like the plot was driven by his showing up and causing consternation with Odo. Here he's just being kind of like a lazy dickhead.
Yeah.
And then like Dan said, it's like, where's O'Brien? Where's our boy O'Brien? Who the hell is this dude?
Yeah, why wasn't Odo concerned about where the fuck O'Brien was?
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking chief of operations.
And of course, maybe O'Brien. I guess the idea is like, oh, O'Brien's on Earth with Keiko. You know, they're visiting family. But
I guess you're supposed to assume that. Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't. I mean, Keiko often goes off on her own adventures, so.
And there was that. There was another thing with Jake and Odo, when Odo's like, Jake says, oh, we're going to go watch the Bajoran transports offload people.
Yeah, Odo knows about Bajoran.
Odo's all
chicks.
Like, to look at the girl.
Odo knows all about Bajoran.
You want to
chicks.
Look at the girls, the little girls, the little Bajoran girls. And which was weird because.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of doesn't entirely fit into Odo's personality, but I guess, you know, he knows the deal.
He was on Bajor a while, so he knows about Bajoran chicks.
And he wasn't advocating for it. He was merely observing it. So I'll accept
that's
that.
True. That's true.
But again, it was all about this whole Jake is growing up and being a teenager thing, which is, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Maybe just, again, execution.
It was a little bit, it was a little too much in the foreground.
And it didn't seem to have to do with anything. It was just more flavor.
Just flavor.
Which is, I like that. I like when they add in that flavor. Sure. I'm not going to get mad at that. But in part because of the total lack, seemingly, and again, you can write us in and let us know where we're getting wrong. But the total lack of this any sort of particular message beyond don't fuck with the Wadi and first contact's a bitch. I guess is one of the themes, maybe. Sorry to use an archaic term. What
keep
else
track
is
of
there?
Your senior officers. if at
drink
least,
the champagne if it's offered to you.
If at least three of them don't show up, like
that's a problem. Fire people who don't care that nobody showed up to fucking work on a space station, because presumably those people's jobs are important.
And it seems like. They would have been well within their rights to make Quark leave the station.
Yeah.
Well, like, Quark, you got to go. Well, that was fucked up.
That's what Dan was saying in his recording. He was saying Quark should have been, he said ejected from the station, but I got
like spaced.
I got the impression he meant space, like put on a fucking airlock and tossed out. Like the Ferengi trash you
are. Yeah, I was just saying like, you have to leave, but he was saying spaced.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, in Quark's defense, I would argue, of course he's going to cheat his customers.
They were winning a lot, dude.
Partly because they were winning a lot. And also, don't you just expect that? And this is not an anti-Ferengi thing. It's an anti-casino owner thing.
Exactly.
It's like that's how it's done, right? To some degree or another.
Right.
You know, fix the tables. They don't seem to have a local gaming authority.
No.
I think the Bajorans might have a gaming authority. I could be, maybe they don't introduce that until later. Like maybe Quark has to like renew his Bajoran gaming authority.
I don't know if the Bajorans license. Have games.
the most popular Bajoran game is just sort of hunkering down on a cold night without a blanket. They're all like, this is fun. And just in case the Cardassians ever come back, in case those spoonheads come back. Those goddamn spoonheads.
Spoonies.
Yeah. But all right. So any odds and ends related to this episode? My main one was the whole tricorder thing. It really put me off. I was confused.
That was pretty weird.
I was like, I don't understand what's going on.
And it's just Dax and Sisko that have a tricorder.
Well, Kira has a tricorder at one point. You see her holding it in her hand when she's doing the dance, when she's doing the Chula conga line.
Okay.
You see it briefly, because she's got to put her hand up in that goofy ass motion, and she's just fisting a tricorder, which I presumed was to be a visual representation of her disdain for having to go through this charade.
I don't think any of them liked to do that.
No,
the actors or
the characters.
Or the characters.
Dax might have enjoyed it a little bit. Dax seemed to be a little bit more.
Maybe
she figured it out first, and she put the most heart into it. But that might have been more her problem solving delight as opposed to
because at first she was intrigued and she was like, yeah, this is like a game, and everybody was like, this isn't a game, we're fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, again, the puzzles were beyond Myst level. I don't know if you remember that game Myst.
I was gonna mention Myst because it was kind of like that kind of
this
thing,
is similar,
like,
in some ways, except that the puzzles in Myst were more comprehensible.
Yeah.
Then because they walk into a room and there's a bunch of people laughing, and then passing around champagne, and then gas is coming out of the walls.
Yeah.
And they're like, how do we solve this puzzle? And the solution is to drink the champagne. It's like, what? it's not like you read a quote in a book and then you see a raven on the wall and then you push the raven's eye and then
and the guys, the people in the room are like laughing and they're saying drink. And they're like, and there's people walking around with trays of drinks.
So the test is whether or not you'll drink.
Goes like, don't drink that shit.
Because is the message,
that's waddy
is
shit,
the message,
man.
Do drugs? Is the message, if a bunch of crazy assholes offer you drugs, do drugs?
Yes.
Because otherwise you'll die? I don't understand what the message. I don't know what's the point of that level.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of an analogy and I can't, because I was trying to think of like a maze or a labyrinth analogy, but it was like, no, at least those have some fucking sense. It's like you got to get to the either to the center or get the fuck out. This is like you're moving along home. You don't know which direction home is. You're just going into random doors and random shit is happening in random rooms.
It's just something to sort of like scare you and set you on edge.
I think they had a great concept, and then when it came to, they started out with, I bet Michael Piller walked into the writer's room, and he was like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. They get, the senior officers get trapped in a mind game, and they got to play out the game. And everyone's like, that's a great idea. We can do so much. We have an unlimited potential.
We're writers.
With this plot. And then they were so excited about it that they went out and like drank a bunch of beer. Some of them probably did a little bit of cocaine because that was still a thing back then.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing again, but back then it was a thing. And they had too much fun partying and celebrating their brilliant idea.
So they did like the first chap, and that made sense.
And then they got back to the writer's room and they were like, oh fuck. Well, we actually kind of come up with the rules to this game.
We can't do six chaps.
We can't. All right, we're going to skip the first chap.
We'll do a chap and a half.
We'll get them to skip from chap number four to six.
Yeah.
Like, why do that in the first place? Why not?
It's like two chaps, really. It's like
if you're gonna do
one chap.
Yeah, if you're going to do a four-act story structure, four chaps. Come on. Just stick to four chaps. Keep it simple. What's with this extraneous shit? Come on. All right. Or maybe five on the outside if you're all insistent about this whole shortcut thing. But I don't know. You could have introduced that anyway. But yeah, I think they got hungover and then didn't have enough energy or creativity to actually come up with the actual stuff for the games. Because again, you can imagine so many interesting scenarios, even if you stick to this room concept. You enter a room and then there's some puzzle in the room.
Because the first one is actually like a proper puzzle. Like there's a weird little rhyme. There's somebody doing something weird. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. What do I have to do? I just have to do what she's doing.
Yep. Exactly. That one
works. That was the only puzzle.
And it was disturbing and weird and creepy.
Totally.
While also being whimsical and embarrassing to the crew.
It's a funny rhyme, and it's and like, if you do what she's doing, you just look like a dummy, and like, it's like Alamarine, and like, what the hell does that mean? And like,
totally bizarre. Odds and ends. Any other odds and ends?
It's a conga line.
have you exhausted your odds and ends?
I think I incorporated a lot of my odds and ends in my...
Do you know what they call a group of odds and ends? You know, like it's a murder of crows or like a herd of cattle? A group of odds and ends is called an exhaustion of odds and ends.
Oh, I bet it is. What happened to the funny juice they had? Were they drinking that funny juice in the smoke room?
I don't think so, because it looked different. It looked more like champagne. I mean, not like pure champagne. It was kind of in that direction. It was certainly in some sort of,
I liked it when I said Captain McCullough earlier, but I liked it when Sisko said Captain McCullough. That's who I was trying to think of.
that scene with Sisko in general was entertaining. This frustration, and he's like, "I'm going to sleep after having all these cups in front of me." I'm all gonna loudly complain about these people who I was yelling at Bashir earlier about to take seriously, and now I'm gonna leave. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I think that about does it for me as well.
I think so.
A flawed, strange, bizarre episode. Wholly worth watching.
But fun to watch.
I think fun to watch.
You might not want to watch it like three times in one week. Like,
maybe not.
Like I did. But watch it once.
I see people.
Once a year.
So, for example, you know, we post on to our social media, which we'll talk about in just a moment. We post to our social media what episodes we're going to be watching next. And so I was posting up the notifications that we were going to be watching Move Along Home, And a number of people said, oh, this is great. This episode's way better than people say. I always enjoy this episode. Some people were saying, like, this is my favorite episode of Deep Space Nine, more power to you. Whatever floats your boat, I want what you're on. I'll have what she's having. We accept all comers here.
What else are you into?
The It's Got Star Trek podcast. Please write us in and tell us what else you're into, because we want to find out. But there were a couple people who said, hard pass on this one. And I said that in a mocking voice, and I apologize, because I just proclaimed that we accept all comers. And we did.
That's fully justified.
You can totally hate this episode. You can totally stomp on this episode, stomp it into the ground. I will not get mad at you. I will not think less of you. It's totally understandable. However, if you are interested in the It's Got Star Trek podcast, recommendation of the week, the recommendation of the week is, don't necessarily skip over this episode when you're doing your Deep Space Nine rewatch. And don't tell your friends who are new to the show to skip over this episode. I've heard some people say that too. When they try to introduce their friends to Deep Space Nine, they say start from the beginning, but then they'll say, okay, you can skip this episode.
This would be a fine introduction.
Yeah. I personally, if I'm watching a show, I have OCD. I'm going to watch every single episode to the end of the credits, but I have, I also have never had an issue. I think it can be very appropriate if you're trying to get somebody in and that person, particularly if that person has limited time, to suggest some episodes that they needn't bother with. Right. And there's certainly episodes of Star Trek in every series where you can say, you know what? You don't necessarily need to watch this one. I don't think that applies here.
No, it does not.
I think there is some fun stuff, some characterizations, some things that, forget about the actual in series aspects of it. It's almost more the Star Trek culture aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You want to know what has gone on in this episode. You want to form an opinion. It might be a miserable, terrible opinion. You might hate it, but you want to be able to own that opinion and hold on to it so you can talk about it with your Star Trek friends.
It's one of those episodes.
You got to watch it.
Like many of the episodes we've talked about.
In
various Star Trek series.
Like the hippie, you know, the TOS. Like the Way to Eden. Move Along Home, The Way to Eden. The Way to Eden, you got to watch that episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of a stupid episode. But,
brother.
But you got to watch it to kind of fully understand.
Charles Napier.
Star Trek, right? I think that's true of a lot of fandoms where, there's always going to be some stuff that you can skip over, but there are certain things that might be controversial. In terms of whether you're going to love it or hate it or whatever, but there'll be some cultural value for you to enjoy by watching it. Okay, so
next week.
Well, okay. So first of all, next week we are going to be discussing Star Trek Enterprise, In a Mirror Darkly, parts 1 and 2.
It's been a long road.
This is for those who are unfamiliar. These are nearly at the end of the fourth and last season of Enterprise. However, fret not, all ye who have not seen Star Trek Enterprise or not, who have not arrived at this stage of it yet.
This is something different.
The In a Mirror Darkly episodes take place entirely in the Mirror Universe. Entirely. They even change the opening.
You remember the Mirror Universe.
The opening sequence. Yeah. And it's great. They're... Well, we'll leave it to you to decide whether they're good episodes or not, because it's again debatable, but they're definitely fun. You get to see TOS style.
It's the Mirror Universe, man. Come on.
Archer gets to do some funny stuff because it's Mirror Archer and Mirror T'Pol and Mirror Hoshi, and goddamn it, is Mirror Phlox.
And what's that ship that disappeared back in the day?
I've forgotten. Is it the Constitution or something Intrepid? Like that? I know that one. I totally know what it is.
The USS Hopscotch.
Yeah, it's the Hopscotch McGee.
But the Tholians get them in the Tholian web. But you learn about stuff in that episode that is referenced in Discovery, the Defiant.
Yes, the USS Defiant. Can't believe I forgot that, because we were just talking about Deep Space Nine, even though they don't have the Defiant yet in season one. But this is another USS Defiant, a totally separate USS Defiant, is pulled in to the Mirror Universe. So anyway, we will be discussing that at great length.
That's next week.
Next week. And so watch those episodes. Do your homework, folks. Watch those episodes. And it's not going to spoil anything for anything else in Enterprise because it's kind of its own clever little standalone mirror universe story.
Totally.
But it does inform in some ways stuff that goes on in Discovery, in Star Trek Discovery. So there's a lot of mirror stuff, universe stuff associated with Star Trek Discovery, and this connects up to that a little bit. So if you're a fan of Discovery, you'll definitely want to check out these episodes. So that's what we'll be discussing next week. And in the meantime, if you would very much like to get in contact with us, we have a number of different options. Yeah, you don't have to want to get in contact with us, but you might want it in the back of your head just in case. Or if you want to send a complaint.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to be all like, ooh. You can type in the email. Well, I was to tell you, the email address is feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. And you can type in subject line.
If you want to complain about how Dan isn't here anymore.
Yeah, like, you can totally complain about that. He'll be back
sound
soon.
Sound off about that shit.
He will be back soon, possibly sooner than you think.
Yeah.
So you don't need to fret too much about that. But feel free to complain. Or you can, we'll just give out Dan's email address.
Don't dox me.
It's Dan at ivebeendoxed.com. which is actually, oddly enough, that's a
real site.
It's a real site where it's the site run by a dachshund breeder. show dachshunds. They got long haired, short haired.
Spelled completely different.
Like the chocolate style miniature dachshunds, regular sized dachshunds. You can get those little dachshund things where when dachshunds have a bad back, it's a little strap that goes around their belly and it has a wheel on it to support their back.
Well, them dachshund wheels.
Mm. You can reach us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. The website, as you might have inferred, is www.itsgotstartrek.com, in which you can not only listen to our episodes and check out some other content, you can get your links right to the podcasting service that is your preference. We have links to all the important ones like Apple Podcasts and iTunes, which is the same thing, and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Podcasts. We already said Apple Podcasts, but apparently if you say Apple Podcasts a bunch, the algorithms slurp it up, and then they're like, oh, we're going to raise this in the rankings.
Apple Podcasts.
But you can also organize all the episodes by series, which is a great benefit to people who don't give a fuck about one or more of the series that we talk about. And since we jump around a lot, you might just be keen on just looking at the Enterprise episodes or the Deep Space Nine episodes. And you can see every podcast we did on Deep Space Nine will be sorted if you just click the little DS9 button, you know, through the menu or through the links on the side. It's pretty self-evident. If you've used a website before, you will have no doubt.
If you like Deep Space Nine, you're the coolest.
You are pretty cool. You'll be able to navigate the website if you are an internet age denizen. you can also get us on social media. We're very active in the various communities on social media. Facebook at It's Got Star Trek, Twitter at It's Got Star Trek, Instagram at It's Got Star Trek. You can search for It's Got Star Trek on YouTube. There's a bunch of insane people out there who like to listen to podcasts on YouTube, even if there's no video component. And more power to you. That's why we go through the tremendous extra effort to get it up on YouTube each week, because there are a lot of people who...
There's some kind of visual, right?
Yeah, well, there's a picture.
There's a picture.
There's like a static picture.
There's a visual, yeah.
You want to look at a static picture, hear some sounds. Who knows? Maybe we'll add some actual video elements in the future.
People dig that
stuff. We toss some bonus stuff up there from time to time, too, and so you can go check it out there. And certainly, if you are so inclined and would like to, we very much appreciate when people write a review for us or rate the podcast or write a review on iTunes or wherever.
Yeah.
Wherever you get your podcast, that's always helpful. And we like to see that, and it helps our egos. And you can write bad reviews if you
what
want.
Are you guys talking
about? We prefer you didn't, but you have every right to do that. But, you know, just sort of any interaction is always fun. We get lots of emails, which is great. So keep sending in those emails, and when appropriate, we'll read them out on the air, especially if you offer an interesting comment or theory. Yeah, if you're Tarek or Jibberkit, Funnest Frontier, any of you fine folks out there, you write us in and tell us your thoughts, your theories, your deepest concerns about life. You know, the sort of anxieties that are drifting up from the wells of wells of your soul. Or if you just have any cool, awesome things you want to tell us about.
It doesn't have to be about Star Trek.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Star Trek. We can start a whole new podcast on a totally separate subject.
It's called It's Got You.
It's got Fried Green Tomatoes. It's still the one I'm pushing. Dan's been...
The secret's in the sauce.
Dan's been really reluctant on that one, and Jesse's, of course, ambivalent. Appropriately ambivalent. But Dan and I have been fighting back and forth a little bit about that. I told him he didn't need to be involved, but I think he's just offended by the concept.
I think it grinds his gears.
It does a little bit. But yeah, so yeah, if you can, you know, leave a review, rate us, and all that other good stuff. Write us emails, Twitter. We've told you all the deals. So
you know,
next week again, a reminder: In a Mirror Darkly, Enterprise, fourth season, towards the end,
Mirror Universe.
You'll find it on the streaming service that is your preference. And so, in the meantime, we hope you have a lovely rest of the week, and we'll be seeing you next
Later.
Week. Next week.
Alla Moraine, count to four. Alla Moraine, then three more. Alla Moraine, if you can see. Alla Moraine, you'll come with me. Come on, just say the rhyme. Alla Moraine,
then three more. Alla Moraine, if you can see. Alla Moraine, you'll come with me.
Alla Moraine, count to four. Alla Moraine, count to four.
Alla Moraine, then three more. Alla Moraine, if you can see. Alla Moraine, you'll come with me.
Alla Moraine, you'll come with me.
Alla Moraine, third chapter.